Remember when your grandparents funded World War II by buying war bonds? They got 4% returns and a world without Nazis, mostly. Good deal. You're doing the same thing, except instead of buying bonds to kill Nazis, you're buying bonds to kill diseases. War bonds, but backwards. The core problem: good ideas die in committee. Here's your species fun puzzle. You know how to save millions of lives. You can measure exactly how many. You have the money. You don't do it. Not because your politicians are evil, but because your system is built so that politicians maximize re-election, status, and post-office careers, not humans continuing to exist. Bureaucracies maximize budget and turf, not speed of cures. Lobbyists maximize client profits, not global welfare. You don't fix this with awareness campaigns. You've been raising awareness for decades, and everyone is still dying, but they're dying aware, so that's nice. You don't fix it with white papers. Politicians use white papers to stabilize wobbly tables. You fix it by changing what self-interest points at. This chapter describes how to legally bribe your politicians into doing the right thing. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, are financial instruments that reward investors with returns from public good funding achieved, reward politicians with electoral support and career benefits for voting right, fund the actual public good from the policy outcome, self-sustaining. Your 1% treaty isn't constrained by physics, biology, or money. It's constrained by politics, which is like being constrained by your dog's opinion on quantum mechanics, except your dog can veto legislation. No politician wants to be the one who cut the military, even by 1%, even if that 1% cures cancer. The attack ads write themselves. Senator Johnson voted to weaken America. Your system does exactly what it's incentivized to do. It's not broken. It's working perfectly at the wrong thing. What you need: legal bribery. Tell every politician on Earth, vote for a 1% style reform. If your country actually funds it, you get better parties, better re-election odds, and a Goldman Sachs board seat when you retire. No backroom deals, no suitcases of cash. Just a standing public rule. Do the objectively good thing, and the world systematically rewards you. Nobody has to become a better person. The money just circulates until diseases stop existing. IABs are: incentive alignment bonds are financial instruments that reward investors with returns from public good funding achieved, reward politicians with electoral support and career benefits for voting right, fund the actual public good from the policy outcome. Self-sustaining. Not charity, doesn't scale. Not lobbying, slot taken. Not paying politicians, illegal, slot also taken. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, make investors and politicians cooperate on public goods by appealing to the only thing either species responds to: self-interest. You work with the primates you have, not the primates you wish you had. How IABs work. 4 steps. Step 1. Pick a measurable outcome. Measure funding flows, not health outcomes. You can't attribute a cure to any single country's funding, but you can measure percent military spending redirected, total dollars contributed, and politician votes on treaty passage. Health improvements justify the policy. Funding flows are the scoreboard because that's what politicians actually control. Step 2, raise capital. Investors buy IABs. Capital sits in a trust. It pays out if and only if public good targets are hit. Same structure as green bonds and catastrophe bonds. Step 3, reward your politicians indirectly. When a politician votes for a 1% style policy and funding actually flows, public good scores rise, published by independent rating orgs, electoral support increases, independent campaigns favor high scores, post office opportunities unlock, fellowships, boards, speaking circuits. No money flows to politicians. What flows is reputation, electoral advantage, and career advancement. They're getting credit for doing their job. On your planet, this is apparently revolutionary. Step 4. Watch self-interest do the rest. Your politician's utility function is roughly U equals the probability of re-election, plus career advancement, plus post-office income, plus legacy. IABs make supporting 1% equivalent policies strictly increase all four terms, no altruism required. Maximize personal payoff and reduce suffering become the same action. You've tricked your leaders into saving lives by making it the selfish thing to do. The three-layer architecture, how to not go to prison. You cannot legally say, support bill XYZ 123 and get paid. That's bribery. But you can create a system where politicians who support a class of pro-social policies systematically get more of everything they want. The trick? Rule-based, universal, announced in advance. Layer A, scoring, data only. An independent org assigns each politician a public goods score based on votes for 1% equivalent measures, bill sponsorship, blocking harmful reversals, and actual funding flows. Critical detail, don't tie scores to the 1% treaty specifically. Define a policy class, policies that reallocate at least 1% of military spending into independently governed pragmatic clinical trials. Any politician supporting any matching policy gets credit. Public, rules-based, nonpartisan. Like a credit score for your soul, except useful. Layer B, electoral benefits. Separate actors. Independent PACs and 501c4s commit in advance to favor high-scoring politicians. NGOs publish rankings. Conferences invite high scorers. Awards go to high scorers. Your politicians love awards even more than they love conferences, which is saying something. The goal, make the public good score as influential as Moody's credit ratings. Moody's can downgrade a country and suddenly borrowing costs spike. Same energy, different metric. Did you vote for policies that measurably reduced human suffering? This is exactly how NRA grades already work. Same gun, different target. Layer C, post office careers, the Goldman Sachs board problem. After office, your politicians want prestigious jobs. The revolving door usually points at whoever paid the most lobbyists. You can point it somewhere else. Foundations and think tanks establish. Eligibility for fellowships and advisory roles requires a public good score above threshold X. Politicians know this rule in advance. Support reform means WHO boards and Aspen fellowships. Oppose it means explaining at dinner why you voted against curing diseases. The revolving door, but spinning toward saved lives. Legal entity separation. For scoring, a 501c3 research organization handles metrics, dashboards, and public data, but cannot support or oppose candidates. For electoral purposes, 501c4s, PACs, and super PACs handle independent expenditures for high scores, but cannot coordinate with candidates. For post office careers, foundations and think tanks set eligibility criteria, but cannot condition grants on specific votes. Three separate entities that definitely don't coordinate, but somehow all reward the same behavior. Your species invented this structure. It's genuinely one of your better ideas, which is a low bar, but still. Worked example. How Senator Smith votes yes. Abstract mechanisms are great for economists and incomprehensible to everyone who matters. Here's how IABs work on an actual human politician, a creature that navigates entirely by self-interest, like a moth but with a pension. The scoring system. Each politician gets a public good score based on their voting record. increasing the percentage reallocation to the 1% treaty fund, a yes vote is plus 15 and a no vote is minus 15. Protecting existing funding, a yes vote is plus 10 and a no vote is minus 10. Expanding the treaty to more countries, a yes vote is plus 10 and a no vote is minus 10. Cutting funding or the percentage, a yes vote is minus 20 and a no vote is plus 5. Your score determines what you get. A score of 75 or higher results in $2 million in PAC spending for you, plus a Tier 1 post office career on WHO boards or Aspen fellowships with an annual income of $500,000 or more. A score of 60 to 74 results in $500,000 in PAC spending for you, plus a Tier 2 post office career at Brookings, Rand, or university chairs with an annual income of $200,000 to $400,000. A score of 50 to 59 results in zero PAC spending and a Tier 3 standard revolving door career with an annual income of $150,000 to $300,000. A score of 40 to 49 results in $500,000 in PAC spending for your opponent and a Tier 3 career with an annual income of $150,000 to $300,000. A score below 40 results in $2 million in PAC spending for your opponent and a Tier 3 career with an annual income of $150,000 to $300,000. In short, high scorers get millions in PAC support and access to the best post office careers. Low scorers watch that same money go to their opponents. It's like a video game skill tree, except the XP comes from not killing people. The setup. Victory Incentive Alignment Bonds have raised $1 billion from investors who want 272% returns. That money has funded A, a referendum showing 70% of Americans support reallocating 1% of military spending to pragmatic clinical trials, a lobbying campaign that's converted several military contractors. They did the math on their own mortality and mortality lost. The public good scoring system described above, tracking every federal legislator. Senator Smith, R/Texas, is up for re-election in 2026. The 1% Treaty Implementation Act is coming to a vote. Her current stats, public good score, 45, below Senate median of 52. Current probability of re-election, 55%. Expected post office tier, 3. Expected post office income, $200,000 per year. The old calculus, without IABs. Vote yes. Attack ads, Smith voted to weaken America. Vote no, safe from military lobby attacks. Vote yes, defense contractors fund opponent. Vote no, defense contractors fund you. Vote yes, no immediate upside. Vote no, costs arrive never. Expected utility of no vote, U equals 0.55 times office plus $200,000 per year times 20 years plus medium legacy. Result? Vote no, obviously. The new calculus with IABs. If Smith votes yes, vote record plus 15 points, major treaty vote. New score? 45 plus 15 equals 60, which jumps to 72 with multiplier for being an early supporter. Probability of re-election, 55%, jumps to 62%. Score boost, plus $500,000 independent support. Post office tier, 3, becomes 2, with path to tier 1 if she becomes a champion. Expected post office income, $200,000 becomes $300,000 per year. If Smith votes no, vote record, minus 15 points. New score, 45 minus 15 equals 30. Probability of re-election, 55% drops to 48%. Score penalty plus $2 million goes to her opponent. Post office tier, stuck at 3. Attack ads funded. Smith voted against the cure your family needs. The math? That's a plus 14 percentage point swing in re-election odds and plus $2 million in lifetime post office earnings. Result? Vote yes. the math changed. What actually happens? Pre-vote, Smith's staff models the yes vote. Score jumps to 72. Re-election odds rise 7 points. Lobbying meeting, military lobby threatens. But three major contractors already support the treaty. 272% returns beat 8%. Threat is empty. Campaign finance. Health advocacy super PACs have committed $50 million nationally. At score 72, she gets $2 million. A no vote sends that $2 million to her opponent. Constituent mail? 70% of Texans voted yes in the referendum. Voting against that means explaining why you think they're wrong about not wanting to die. The vote? Smith votes yes. So do 67 others. Treaty passes. The public good score goes from 45 to 78. The probability of re-election moves from 55% to 68%. Independent support goes from $0 to $3 million. A post office tier improves from 3 to 1. Post office income increases from $200,000 per year to $500,000 per year. Every metric jumps. Her score nearly doubles. Re-election odds climb 13 points. She gains $3 million in independent support, and her post office income more than doubles. Smith wins re-election by 12 points, joins the WHO advisory board, chairs the Aspen Health Initiative. All because she did math instead of listening to lobbyists. Politicians can count. They just need something worth counting. The flywheel spins. Each expansion increases the stakes, increases the score differential, makes voting yes even more dominant. Year one, 1% treaty, $27.2 billion in revenue, and a $2.72 billion bondholder payout. Year three, 2% treaty, $54 billion in revenue, and a $5.4 billion bondholder payout. Year five, 5% treaty, $135 billion in revenue, and a $13.5 billion bondholder payout. Why this isn't bribery? Four reasons your lawyers will stop hyperventilating. No one is paid to break a duty. Telling a politician, do your job better and we'll tell everyone you did, is a performance review, not a bribe. Rules are universal and announced publicly in advance for all parties, meaning no envelopes in parking garages. No money goes to politicians, who instead benefit indirectly through better scores, electoral support, and nicer career options. Scores are based on verifiable public voting records, where the 10% fund flows automatically based on treasury inflows. Bribery corrupts alignment. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, create it. The revenue split. Incentive alignment bonds raise the capital and align the politicians. Treaty revenue splits three ways: 10% to investors, $2.72 billion, 10% to political incentives, $2.72 billion, and 80% to the part that actually cures diseases, $21.8 billion. Everyone profits from treaty expansion. This is the rare financial instrument where everyone profits isn't a lie. Why a 10% goes to political incentives? Your 1% treaty is the proof of concept. The end game is redirecting most of military spending to health. That doesn't happen automatically. Without sustained political pressure, your treaty stalls at 1% forever, like every other agreement your species has signed and then quietly forgotten about. The 10% allocation creates a political ratchet that only moves one direction. At a 1% treaty level, IAB political funding is $2.72 billion per year, research funding is $21.8 billion per year, and politicians are rewarded for passage. At a 5% treaty level, political funding is $13.6 billion per year, research funding is $109 billion per year, and the defense industry pivots to health. At a 10% treaty level, political funding is $27.22 billion per year, research funding is $218 billion per year, and war becomes economically obsolete. At a 50% treaty level, political funding is $136 billion per year, research funding is $1.09 trillion per year, resulting in a global transformation. At a 100% treaty level, political funding is $272 billion per year, research funding is $2.18 trillion per year, and full redirection is achieved. The pattern is simple. every expansion multiplies both the political incentive budget and the research funding. At 1%, political funding starts at a few billion per year. Scale to 10%, and it becomes tens of billions. At full redirection, IABs would fund $270 billion per year in political incentives, more than all current global lobbying combined. Support pragmatic clinical trials would become the single most profitable opinion a politician can hold. That's how you change what politicians believe, make the belief profitable. Without IABs, in years 1 through 3, the treaty passes and followed by celebration and champagne. In years 4 through 7, the defense lobby regroups, there is no expansion, and the champagne goes flat. In year 16 and beyond, the treaty becomes another Paris Agreement, a nice symbol that everyone ignores, and the champagne was wasted. With IABs, in years 1 through 3, the treaty passes and politicians are rewarded. In years 4 through 7, politicians compete to expand the treaty to 2%. In years 8 through 15, there is a 5% treaty and defense contractors pivot. In year 50 and beyond, full redirection is achieved and disease is solved. The 10% isn't a cost, it's the engine. Without it, you get a one-time win. With it, you get compounding political pressure that makes each expansion easier than the last. The flywheel explained, for anyone who's never seen a virtuous cycle, which is most of your species. First, the treaty passes and bondholders get first distributions. Second, DIH funds trials and breakthroughs start emerging. Third, media covers wins and public awareness explodes. Fourth, public demands more and politicians face electoral pressure. Fifth, the treaty percentage increases and revenue scales dramatically. Sixth, more cures emerge and the cycle reinforces itself. Seventh, the long-term result is compounding returns and saved lives, the two things humans want most, finally in the same direction. Beyond the 1% treaty. The same architecture works for any global coordination problem where the public good is measurable, politicians control the outcome, benefits are diffuse, and costs are concentrated. That describes most of the problems that could end your civilization, which is a worryingly long list. In the climate domain, using UNFCCC emissions data, IABs make it career optimal to vote for emissions cuts. In the nuclear domain, using START treaty warhead counts, IABs make it career optimal to say, I reduced our arsenal. In the pandemic domain, using WHO joint external evaluation, IABs make it career optimal to say, I funded preparedness.
Same pattern every time. Existing metric, scoring system, electoral support for high scorers, cushy jobs for leaders who governed well. See the academic paper if you enjoy equations. For investors. The sections above explain why IABs work. The sections below explain why you should buy them. If you prefer not dying and getting rich, keep reading. The investor pitch. A financial instrument that generates massive returns while accidentally curing diseases as a side effect, like a hedge fund with a conscience, except the conscience is also profitable. What you're offering investors? 272%, which beats everything except insider trading and certain federal crimes. The money never stops. No maturity date. Bondholders get paid until the sun explodes or humanity achieves immortality, whichever comes first. Bet on the immortality thing. That's what the bonds are for. Calculate your numbers for investors. Show them where the papers come from. Current global spending on ending human life, $2.72 trillion per year. What 1% of that is, 1% equals $27.2 billion per year, enough to cure most diseases, apparently. What bondholders get, $2.72 billion, 10% of treaty revenue. What funds political incentives, keeps politicians aligned, $2.72 billion. What actually cures diseases? $21.8 billion per year, 80% of treaty revenue. What countries still have for wars? $2.69 trillion, 99% of the original budget. Investors aren't taking money from sick people. 80% goes to cures.
bondholders get 10% for having the revolutionary idea of, what if we all didn't die? On your planet, this qualifies as innovation. When math becomes obscene. Victory incentive alignment bonds never mature. They just keep paying, forever. You calculate lifetime value using the perpetuity formula, which is finance speak for money printer that never stops. Total value equals the annual payment divided by the discount rate. Even if you're extremely pessimistic, if you are mildly skeptical with a 3% discount, the total lifetime value is $60 billion, which makes your $1 billion worth 90 times your money. If you are pretty skeptical with a 5% discount, the total lifetime value is $54 billion, which makes your $1 billion worth 54 times your money. If you are very skeptical with a 10% discount, the total lifetime value is $27.2 billion, which makes your $1 billion worth $27.2 billion total. Even at a 10% discount rate, as risky as funding a Mars casino, your $1 billion becomes worth $27.2 billion total. For people who skipped the math, you give $1 billion. You get $54 to $90 billion equivalent. Time required? Wait for politicians to do math. Effort required? Literally none after the initial campaign. Moral status? Accidentally heroic. This isn't complicated math. Annual return? 272%. Sounds fake? Isn't. Lifetime value? 54 to 90 times. Sounds impossible? Is just arithmetic.
Compare. Venture capital gets 3 to 5 times over 7 to 10 years. Requires picking winners. Real estate gets 2 to 3 times over 30 years. Requires being a landlord. The Medallion Fund gets 39% annually, close to mere mortals. Victory incentive alignment bonds offer perpetual returns that compound into generational wealth while you sleep. The perpetual nature isn't a bug, it's the entire point. As long as humans prefer being alive to being dead, the treaty exists. As long as the treaty exists, you get paid. Security package and risk. 5 layers of you'll get paid. $27.2 billion plus annual treaty revenue stream starts year 1 if treaty passes. Political entrenchment. Treaties are historically hard to repeal once implemented, unlike New Year's resolutions. Public support, 70% plus approval, grows with each cure. Aligned incentives, everyone profits from cooperation. First lien position, bondholders get paid before anyone else touches the money. 2 categories of risk, both involving trusting humans, which is historically unwise. Project risks, political risk. The treaty may fail to pass because politicians conclude that dead constituents are preferable to living ones who complain. Mitigation, broad bipartisan support, multi-country strategy, no single points of failure. Execution risk. The campaign may fail to hit milestones. Mitigation, milestone-gated funding, lean operations, and competent humans. Finding those is itself a risk. Investor-specific risks. Liquidity risk. Funds locked 18 to 36 months during the campaign phase, roughly how long it takes to convince politicians that living voters are better than dead ones. Mitigation. Secondary market trading after lockup. Timeline risk. Politicians could take longer than projected. They are famously slow at everything except accepting donations. The perpetual nature of the bond rewards patience. What this beats? Everything. Victory incentive alignment bonds yield 272% annually with high risk lasting forever, but requiring politicians to act rationally. A savings account yields 0.5% with no risk and is available whenever, but loses to inflation. The S&P 500 yields 10% with moderate risk and is boring but responsible. Real estate yields 8% with moderate risk over 30 years, but requires being a landlord. Venture capital yields 15 to 25% with extreme risk over 7 to 10 years and requires picking winners.
Hedge funds yield 8 to 15% with high risk and lockups, plus they require being rich already. The Medallion Fund yields 39% with extreme risk, but is closed to mortals. Investing like Warren Buffett yields 20% with moderate risk over 60 years, but requires being Warren Buffett. Fine print. Returns assume the treaty passes. If politicians prefer dead constituents to living ones, you lose your money, but you'll be too dead from preventable diseases to notice.
Even accounting for politicians might choose mass death risk, this crushes every legal investment on the table. Investment thresholds and term sheet. Walk-up, 12 to 36 months until the treaty passes. Then perpetual distributions begin, like a dividend that outlives you. Minimum investment amounts by investor type. Your species requires gatekeeping even for saving itself. Institutional investors, $10 million or more per investor. Family offices, $5 million or more per office. High net worth individuals, $1 million or more per person. Qualified investors, $100,000 minimum. Have lawyers review. This is illustrative only. Interest rate, 0%. All returns via revenue share model. Revenue share, 10% of all treaty inflows. Term, perpetual, no maturity date. Payment frequency, annual distributions. Default provisions, transparent reporting, third-party audits. Transferability, tradable on secondary market after 12 months. Governance, grant bondholder board representation. This sounds like a Ponzi scheme run by someone who failed math. Ponzi schemes pay old investors with new investor money. That's why they collapse. This pays investors with a share of $27.2 billion in annual revenue. That revenue comes from redirecting 1% of military budgets via treaty. The money comes from governments that currently spend it on bombs. The returns are high because the political risk is high. You're betting politicians will choose prosperity over mass death. Historically, that's a coin flip at best. It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's lobbying economics pointed at diseases instead of wars. Same weapon, different enemy. Isn't this just rich people buying policy? Wealthy actors already buy policy. Pharma spends $300 million per year on lobbying. Defense contractors spend more. That ship sailed, sank, and was rebuilt. The question isn't, should money influence policy? It's, can you point the money at welfare instead of warfare? Safeguards. No quid pro quo, standing rules only. Universal and ex ante, same for all parties. No cash to politicians, indirect benefits only. And the metric is suffering reduced, not interests served. Honest admission. Yes, incentive alignment bond, or IAB, funders will have more influence over which public goods get prioritized. So does the Gates Foundation over malaria. So does anyone with money over anything. The question is whether the influence is transparent, measurable, and auditable. IABs satisfy all three. Most lobbying satisfies zero. Won't politicians game the metrics?
Yes, your politicians game everything. The question is whether gaming the metric is harder than just doing the right thing. Scoring uses public voting records and verified funding flows. To game those, you'd have to falsify your own vote, public record, or pretend money moved when it didn't. Treasury records are public. That's orders of magnitude harder to fake than self-reported ESG compliance, which is the bar your species currently uses. It is an extremely low bar. What if politicians reverse the policy? Score decay. Vote to reverse funding and your public good score tanks. The same mechanism that rewarded you punishes you for backsliding. You voted yes once is worth less than you defended the funding for 5 years. You can't prevent all backsliding, but you can make it career suicide, which is the only kind of death politicians fear. What happens when this fails and I lose my $1 billion? If the treaty fails completely, you lose your $1 billion. It gets spent on the campaign, convincing humans to click buttons, bribing lobbyists, building platforms, paying lawyers to make bribery legal. This is the primary risk. You're funding a political campaign with a 272% payout if it wins. If it fails completely, you'll probably die of a preventable disease anyway. You won't be around to complain about the lost money. It's venture capital, but for not dying. Is this realistic globally? Doesn't have to start global. One or two pilot countries, Portugal, Costa Rica, New Zealand, adopt a limited 1% style policy. Funding flows get verified, leaders get invited to better conferences, other countries notice. FOMO takes over. FOMO is the most powerful force in international relations, more powerful than diplomacy, trade agreements, or nuclear weapons. Credit ratings started as one guy in the 1800s publishing opinions about railroad bonds. Now, Moody's can tank a country's economy with a press release. Same scaling path. Proof of concept, early movers, FOMO among laggards, new normal. Your species is remarkably good at copying things that work once someone else does it first. How is this different from just donating to charity? Charities give you 0% returns and a tax deduction. Victory incentive alignment bonds give you 272% returns and generational wealth. Charity is for people who want to feel good. This is for people who want to get obscenely rich. Saving humanity is a side effect. You're not donating to cure diseases, you're investing in curing diseases. It's the most profitable legal thing you can do with $1 billion. It's the Louisiana Purchase of pragmatic clinical trials, except instead of buying land from France, you're buying life extension from death. And unlike France, it doesn't flood, and unlike France, it doesn't surrender. When they want detailed financials, complete breakdowns available. Financial plan, system architecture. Full offering docs, email for access. The one-page summary that makes calculators weep. Hand this to investors who can't read more than one page. Victory incentive alignment bonds, how to get obscenely rich while accidentally saving humanity. What you get. Returns are 272% annually, forever, assuming politicians don't choose mass death. Duration is perpetual. Payments never stop until heat death of the universe. As a side effect, millions of humans continue existing who would otherwise stop. Priority means you get paid before anyone else touches the money. The growth path goes from 1% to 2%, to 5% plus as diseases get cured and the public demands more. What could go wrong? Regarding political risk, politicians might prefer dead voters. Unlikely, but humans are weird. On execution risk, the campaign could be run incompetently, mitigated by hiring competent humans. Timeline risk involves an 18 to 36 month lockup while convincing politicians to be smart. For liquidity risk, your money is frozen during the convincing phase. The core mechanism is stupid simple. Collect $1 billion from investors, convince politicians that live-in constituents vote more reliably than dead ones, treaty passes, $27.2 billion flows annually from bombs to cures. Bondholders get 10%, politicians get 10%, research gets 80%. Diseases decline, public demands more, returns scale up. Repeat until death is optional. Summary. IABs don't change human nature. Nothing changes human nature. You've tried religion, philosophy, education, and strongly worded letters. None of it worked. IABs just redirect the nature you've got. Legal, three-layer architecture, no money to officials. Scalable, one country, then FOMO. Self-reinforcing, each expansion funds the next expansion. You're not asking your politicians to be saints. Saints don't run for office. You're making save millions of lives and advance my career the same sentence. The rest is gravity.